How's it growing, folks? Welcome to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. I am your guest host for the day, Eddie Celaya, cannabis reporter for TucsonMarijuanaGuide.com and host of the cannabis-infused podcast, Here We'd Go. Before I get this show on the road, I wanted to send some thoughts and prayers over to this show's namesake, Bill Buckmaster. Bill, we all love you so much, Bill, and I'm hoping I'm making you proud today on this show. Rest well, friend. We all look forward to hearing and seeing from you when you're back. So today's show will be a little different than most Fridays, because the focus of today's episode isn't what's happening with the GOP field for president or what Donald Trump's mugshot slash photo op yesterday says about the state of American politics. Instead, we're clearing the smoke around Tucson's cannabis community. What are some of the companies that help give Tucson its flavor, if you will? Where do canna connoisseurs and canna curious folks meet to celebrate? We'll help answer some of those questions today. And to help me answer those questions and more, I'm joined first by Amethyst Kinney, president of AZ Canna Friends and creator and CEO of Blue Dream Entertainment. As just a little background for you folks, AZ Canna Friends is an ongoing monthly marijuana-friendly event, with one held each month in Tucson and up in Phoenix. Before we get going, I want to remind everybody that the Buckmaster Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Amethyst, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Eddie, how are you doing?
I am doing wonderful, and I'm just so glad for you to be my very first guest here on the Bill Buckmaster Show.
Definitely an honor, so thank you so much.
Awesome. So I've had you a few times on my Here We'd Go podcast, so I know a little of your cannabis journey, but I think it's important that people that are listening today, that they know that while prohibition, for the most part here in Arizona, is over, people can buy cannabis to their heart's content, it's important not to forget that for many consumers and for patients, cannabis is a medicine. So talk to us a little bit about your journey with that medicine.
Oh, absolutely. So in August of 2010, I went to the hospital and found out that I was having an episode and was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. I spent about 3 years in bed with 7 pill bottles by the side of my bed, and I couldn't do anything. And that, you know me, that's hard for me to be to sit still for any amount of time. And so one day, my best friend, Azak Mania, told me, he said, you know, just try some cannabis. And he knew that I was always against it. He's also my ex-husband, so he knew everything about it. And I said, you know what, let's do it. You know, what could hurt? Yeah, I have 7 pill bottles, yeah. Right? And so as I started to use it, I was like, oh my goodness, I can actually start feeling my body again. I can actually get out of bed. And he started a regimen for me, and that is how I am up and doing what I'm doing now, is all because of cannabis.
So, and that's, I mean, obviously where you and I ran into each other. And when did that journey lead you to kind of get involved with Arizona Canna Friends? I guess maybe we should go back. Let people know what AZ Canna Friends is, how it kind of was founded, and then let's get into your involvement.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. So Canna Friends was started in 2016. It was a small industry event. It has always been women owned. Four different sets of women have owned Canna Friends. And I was helping my best friend, Christina, with Canna Friends. When I was working for a different company in the cannabis industry, and she wanted to start her boutique smoke shop up in Chandler. Uh-huh. And one day she called and she said, yeah, so today's the day where you take over. And I was like, oh, okay, let's go.
When was this? Like, when abouts?
Oh, I wanted it's at least 2.5 years ago.
Okay. So deep, right in the middle of the pandemic then, yeah?
Yeah, a little bit. And so
best time to be making decisions.
Right? Yeah. It was a little bit of a rough start, but it's great now. We have anywhere in Phoenix, we have anywhere between 350 people to 500 people that come every month. And we have in Tucson, we just hit our biggest at 300 people that just came last week to hang out with us at Canna Friends in Tucson.
I was there and I can attest that was definitely the biggest event we've had here for Canna Friends in Tucson.
Yes.
And let's let people know, because I think most of the listeners probably are uninitiated. They are potential AZ Canna Friends customers. So why don't you tell them a little bit about what a Canna Friends event is like?
Absolutely. So we have vendors from the industry that come and set up. You can we get people from the community, people from the industry can all come and attend, and they get to walk around and talk to the vendors one on one to learn about their products, to learn about what they can do for you, where to find them if they're hiring. We have food, we have music, we have raffles. We have just a great time, and it's a great place where you can come and consume, learn and consume. Make sure you educate yourself. We all need to be educated on cannabis. But you can sample the products while you're there, so that before you go to your dispensary, you can say, hey, you know what? I had this and I really liked it. It really helped me. That's what I need to go try and find.
So when you say consume, can you kind of let people know? I think a lot of people think that when you consume cannabis, it's just smoking a joint or a blunt, because for most people in the 60s, 70s and 80s, that was the extent of maybe a brownie here or there.
Right.
But talk to people about kind of the different methods and ways people are able to consume there at Canna Friends.
Yes, there's so many different ways. So yes, we do have our pre-rolls and our flower that you can consume, but it's gone farther than that, where you can have disposable vape pens, regular vape pens, so that if you want to consume but don't want everybody to smell it, that you can do it discreetly. We have wax. There's edibles, so I mean anywhere from gummies to brownies to Rice Krispie treats, drinks, cannabis infused drinks.
Wow.
There's so much. RSO syringes. That when I say syringe, I don't mean, you know, prick it into yourself.
This is not black tar, folks.
Right. Yeah. But getting the oil out and being able to use it responsibly.
That is just so cool, and I think that might be my favorite thing about Canna Friends events, other than the community, of course, is that there's always seems to be some new cool way to consume, and it's usually one of those concentrate or wax-based ways. I love the way those lamps are kind of sit in, and they can get the smoke from the bottom of it.
Yes, the dab rigs. Those are just amazing. Just to see how far cannabis has come over the decades is just absolutely amazing.
And so Canna Friends has really grown so much since your involvement. And like you said, it takes place here in Tucson and in Phoenix. What does it take to really put on one of the events? Whenever I'm there, you are always just such a ball of energy bouncing from one vendor table to the next and just making sure everybody's having a great time. How does that great time come about?
A lot of hard work and dedication. I don't, some people know, but most people don't know that I do all this by myself, because I have such a passion to make sure that everybody knows about cannabis and can find a safe place to learn about it and educate themselves about it. So there's a lot of hard work. There's a lot of, you know, reaching out to the vendors, getting the vendors, finding fantastic venues. Like here in Tucson, the historic Bates Mansion has been nothing less than amazing, and I absolutely adore them. To social media, to trying to get tickets sold, and but it flows. It's a lot of hard work, but it flows because it's just such a great event, and the support from the community helps so much.
And you know, Canna Friends was definitely my introduction into these sort of events, but as a cannabis writer, I've been invited to some up in Phoenix, others in Tucson as well. What do you think is making these events kind of proliferate? What's the driver behind sort of the popularity behind these things? Because when I first started going to them about a year and a half ago, you'd get maybe 100, 150 people. And Right. Now it's literally doubled in size.
Right. I think that what it is that people are starting to come off the stigma that cannabis is a horrible, horrible plant. at all, you know, the gateway drug. I'm using heavy air quotes with that. And it's a place where they can go without being judged to consume and educate themselves. So I think that's really what it is. And when they come and they see the support from everybody else in the community that comes to all the cannabis events, they feel safe and they feel welcomed. And it's just amazing.
I want to touch back a little on something you said there. And you brought it up too when you were talking about your own personal experience. And and how, at least from my observation, that generational kind of like understanding that, oh, cannabis, I just can't touch that. Like, that's not something that I would even consider.
Right.
For 80s and 90s kids, I attribute that to the DARE generation. But for that generation before that, what do you think kind of built that distaste for even thinking about cannabis as some sort of solution?
Oh, the love movement. Are you kidding me? Growing up, it was, oh, you can't touch that. That's what dirty hippies do. You know, the funny thing is that the hippies were the ones with all the love. So I find that really funny. But I know that for several generations, a lot of people were told that, you know, it's the devil's lettuce. I mean, there's that movie, and now I can't remember what the name of it is.
Reefer Madness.
Reefer Madness. That's the one. I watched that, and at that time, I wasn't even using cannabis. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me right now. What is this? So, you know, you have those generations that were given Reefer Madness and just scared beyond oblivion because they weren't educated properly. So we're finding now that the generations are actually doing their own education because they have everything at their fingertips and not listening to, you can't do that, you can't do that. You know, sometimes they should because of morals. But like we were talking about, I grew up, you know, in a very Christian household where it was the gateway drug and you didn't touch it and no matter what. But what we didn't know from everybody just being told that was the benefits of cannabis. And so once we started realizing that, hey, actually, this is better than pharmaceutical drugs. This is way better than opioids. We need to start doing some education and destigmatization. And it's been a journey, but we're getting there. We're definitely getting there.
So I want to wrap kind of this whole line of questioning up with this. And you know, beyond Canna Friends giving a place for people to come and consume cannabis in public, which is super important. I think we could do an episode just on being able to consume in public.
Yes.
Why do you think Canna Friends events have resonated so much with the larger cannabis communities, particularly in the metro areas of Phoenix and Tucson?
Oh, it's the vibe that everybody brings and the togetherness and just the respect and friendships as a whole. And it's just been great. It's not just another event where you're, you know, you go and you're kind of by yourself, like a concert, you might meet the people next to you, but at Canna Friends events, you get to meet plenty of people that are just truly genuine people. And you all come together over the love of cannabis.
I think that's so true because a lot of, I mean, they're friends now that I've met there. You know, at first it became like, hey, this is a great place for me to go and network for interviews or for potential podcast episodes.
Yes.
And now I think of it as like, how I got to go see my friends. Like every time I come in, they're like, hey, Eddie, wow, we're so glad to see you.
Yes.
And you just kind of don't get it. It almost has become a like Cheers like atmosphere where like you expect to see like,
yes, great analogy.
You know, and the other thing I love about it is that obviously there are bigger brands that are there, but at both the Phoenix location and down here in Tucson, local brands are also able to be put on display.
Oh, yes. I make sure because it's definitely, I keep it a community event. So while we do have our larger brands, I also like to make sure that all the, we call, you know, mom and pop shops and the smaller groups definitely get to be involved.
So before we lead into this coming, I guess, commercial. Tell me a little bit, what is your favorite way to consume?
I feel like this is a good way.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Why vape cartridges?
Because when I started using cannabis for my MS, we didn't have vape cartridges. We had flower. So my son was younger at the time, and I wasn't ready to explain everything to him yet. So I had to go and into the laundry room and smoke. And so when the vape cartridges came out, I was like, oh my gosh, this is a great way that I can consume while being discreet at the same time, because, you know, he won't know. Because I do have pseudo seizures and I do need it, like, to have it on me at all times. And so it was just a great way to be more discreet about it and not have to, like, what if I can't get out of bed, you know, or, you know, I don't want to blow smoke in my house.
Well, as somebody who got caught multiple times growing up and would still blow the smoke into the, you know, tube with the laundry detergent,
dryer sheets.
Yeah. So I get that, having to be surreptitious about it.
Yes.
All right, folks, we have a commercial break coming up. Remember, this is the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolo Village studio. And the Buckmaster Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be back in just a sec.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
How's it growing, folks? Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm your guest host today, Eddie Celaya. I'm joined in the studio today by Amethyst Kinney. Amethyst, how you doing?
Doing fantastic. How are you doing?
Really good, because that first segment was so darn great. So I want to jump in. We talked a little bit about AZ Canna Friends, but that is not the only hat you wear in this community.
Correct.
Let's talk a little bit about Blue Dream Entertainment. Number one, where's the name coming from? I think I might have an idea of what Blue Dream comes from. But number two, what does it do?
So we, my ex-husband and my son and I said, I want to start my own company. And we were coming up with every name under the sun. And finally, I was like, oh my gosh, Blue Dream. Blue Dream Entertainment, because it's funny enough, my second favorite strain. My first favorite strain is White Widow, but that just sounded a little too too much for me. So
sounds a little blue, a little bit, right? Like, yeah,
yes.
A little too risque.
So I went with Blue Dream Entertainment. So Blue Dream Entertainment houses the events company, like Can of Friends, a brand ambassador company, and then I also have a consulting group. So basically with Blue Dream Entertainment, I can do anything in the cannabis industry from the bottom up on a national level.
Let's talk a little bit about that brand representative, a brand ambassador.
Oh, brand ambassadors.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I know I've seen a lot of yours at events.
Definitely have.
That events that are beyond the Can of Friends scope. So talk to me a little bit about how you get those, how you recruit those folks, and then what kind of those jobs are. What do they do?
Absolutely. So basically, if a brand needs, they're brand ambassadors, but they don't have the time because it does take a lot of time to get everything coordinated and situated, then they would hire my company and I would take care of all of that for them. The brand ambassadors go to their scheduled events or their on-sites and they set up and represent the brand in any way that they can. And most of them I have met at Can of Friends.
Yeah,
absolutely.
What are some of these brands they're representing? I know that some people are going to be thinking like, hey, I've heard of dispensaries before, but what other brands could there be?
Yes. So the brands I work with, I just took a break with Yummy Gummy and Tipsy Turtle because they're restructuring and I love them so much.
Oh, they're the best.
Kiva, who else? Heisman, ooh, Ricky Williams brand.
I've had Ricky Williams on my podcast, which you can find Here We'd Go, folks.
Yes.
Be sure to stream that on any of your streaming services.
I do work with a lot of ex-NFL football players. It's very wonderful. I actually just hired my friend AC Caswell's son to be a brand ambassador for Heisman. So it's weird how this all comes about in a full circle.
Let's talk a little bit about that involvement with NFL players, because you mentioned Ricky Williams, but during the Super Bowl, you got really involved with another famous NFL player who was integral in the 1985 Bears Super Bowl championship.
Mr. Jim McMahon.
Talk to me a little bit about that.
Mr. Jim McMahon and Kyle Turley and Eben Britton own Revenant. And why they started their brand, their slogan is Take Your Life Back. So they were given, you know, by the NFL, plenty of opioids and ridiculous amount of opioids. And they all turned to cannabis instead. And their stories are just absolutely amazing. And I'm so honored to be a part of what they're doing and to hear from them. It's just, their movement is absolutely amazing.
That is super cool. I actually went and met up with Jim at his home in Scottsdale.
Oh, yes.
Did an interview with him and made sure to enjoy, as soon as I was off the clock, make sure you listen to that Daily Star, folks. I made sure to enjoy a few of Revenant's rolled joints.
And
they were
amazing.
Pre-rolls were fantastic.
They're amazing.
So let's talk a bit about the other elements of Blue Dream Entertainment. Let's talk about the entertainment side of things. What are some other events that you help hold? And tell us a little bit about, especially for this Tucson audience, what's going on up in Phoenix with it?
Up in Phoenix, we have done some joint events with joint events with other companies and venues, like the Clarendon Hotel up in Phoenix is a cannabis friendly hotel. Mm-hmm. So on 710, we did an event with them. Cannabis Capital, who's actually based out of California, but they come and do a lot of events in Phoenix. We've teamed up together. We're actually teaming up together again on October 28th to do Blazing Arizona. Ooh. And a few different things. Pure Earth, I've teamed up with them, and just amazing things. And down here in Tucson, I've teamed up with, we did the 420 event, the Sonoran Cannabis Expo. Mm-hmm. And I also, we just changed this to quarterly, but I also throw a cannabis drag show.
Oh, yes.
Yes, at Harambe Cafe off of Tinka Verde behind Green Med.
Talk to us a little bit about that because, you know, I think unfortunately there is a an unfortunate conversation around drag that, you know, really kind of misses the point of what drag is as an art form.
Yes.
But tell us a little bit about these events because I know they happen at Harambe Cafe and they used to be a monthly thing, but talk to me about why we're going quarterly.
They used to. It's a lot of work. And it's a lot of work for them, the queens and the kings and queens, to, you know, present themselves and get ready. And it was just, with everything else that they had going on, it was just too much. And so we said, you know what, let's dial it back a little bit because it is such a great event and do it quarterly. But yeah, my my best friend, Chris, Miss Nature, is a drag queen and I've attended plenty of his drag shows and they are just amazing. You walk away feeling so empowered that you can do anything. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what drag shows are to show you that it's okay to be who you are and who you want to be. Mm. And I'd always walk away feeling empowered. And we were hanging out one night and my ex-husband again, because, you know, he's full of amazing ideas. I love him to pieces. He's my best friend still. And he said, you know, you guys should do a cannabis drag show. And I was like, oh my goodness. And I was like, that is great for those people who want to go to a drag show, but don't necessarily consume alcohol, but consume cannabis. Mm. It's a completely different vibe.
We were talking about that. Mellow. Yes.
Yes. But it's a great way to not have to drink alcohol if you don't want to.
To that, and the kind of wrapping up that line of questioning and to that kind of, it's a different vibe. We've started to see centers like Harambe Cafe, the Stoned Cafe and Event Center, a lot of these places that are cannabis friendly that you can consume in public. I know that when there is a Cannab Friends in Tucson, it's at the Bates Mansion right now.
Yes.
But do you think we'll see a lot more of these cannabis friendly event centers and kind of clubs popping up?
I would hope so. but I also, I love Adriana at Harambe Cafe. She's doing a wonderful job. I love Norma at the Get Stoned Cafe. And they've actually supported each other. And it's been great to see because they're doing pretty much, you know, almost the same thing. Mm-hmm. But the support between all the women, you know, doing this is great. I would love to see maybe a couple more things pop up. But we are still so small here in Tucson. That, you know, we take a little bit longer here in Tucson to get some stuff done.
We are small, but I think we mentioned it. We should be in the next 4 to 5 months here getting at least 4 or 5 more dispensaries in the area.
Yes, we are, so which is going to be amazing.
That will be very cool. And also, you know, we've really focused kind of on the larger Tucson cannabis community, but I know that you're involved with Blunt Brunch, which is really integral in helping put on display women in the industry.
Yes.
Talk to me a little bit about that venture and then talk to me about being a woman in this industry.
Wonderful. Yes, I'd love to. So Parisa and Adelia run Blunt Brunch. They started it in Phoenix and have taken it nationwide into some different states. And our great friend Grace got to run Tucson for a little while. And she did such an amazing job. And it was a monthly gathering of women in the industry, whether it be, you know, owners or buyers or, you know, bud tenders. Mm-hmm. And the great thing about it was it just to come together and, you know, go women. Yep. I mean, of course we do. But
girl power. Yeah.
Girl power, yeah. Right? But it was, let's have some blunt conversations.
Literally.
At the same time. Yeah. How are you coping with the fact that we are women in the industry and trying to deal with the fact that there's not very many of us and different things like that. And how do you deal with, you know, somebody who tries to take your sparkle away? And
and that not in the age of the Barbie movie, we are not letting anybody take anybody's sparkle away.
That's right.
That Barbenheimer happened, folks. Like, that's not
really
happening
did.
Again. So to wrap kind of everything up, you know, I was looking at the Can of Friends Instagram page yesterday. And by the way, you should let everybody know where they can find out more about AZ Can of Friends. But I saw that there was an idea that maybe there might be a Tempe AZ Can of Friends. Talk to us about what the future holds for AZ Can of
Friends. Yes. So I am, while I do love the Clarendon Hotel and they've been so gracious to us, I am looking for a different venue in Phoenix because I need a bigger venue, actually, which is, I can't complain about that. So I always like to ask the people on Instagram, you know, the people who attend, if they would come if I had it in Tempe because I had a potential venue there. So I always like to ask them first because one time I moved it to Mesa and I will never, ever do that again. I'm so sorry.
I know when I think cannabis, I think Mesa, Arizona.
Right. So I always make sure before I commit to a venue that I make sure that it's going to be okay with everybody because I really do try to cater to all my attendees just because we are like just one big happy family. So,
well, Amethyst Kinney, thank you so much for coming on the Buckmaster Show with me today. I really do truly appreciate it.
I really appreciate you. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Excellent, excellent. So, folks, this is the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Don't forget the Buckmaster Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. I'll be joined this next segment by Murray Stein, the CEO of local edible company Halo Infusions.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
How's it growing, folks? Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm your guest host for the day, Eddie Salaya. For this cannabis-infused segment, I'm joined by Murray Stein, the CEO, or Chief Edible Officer at Halo Infusions. As a little background, Halo Infusions is a company based here in Tucson, Arizona, and is a producer of popular brands including Pure and Simple Juices, my personal favorite, Canna Confections Candies, and, of course, something we'll touch on a little bit here, canine CBD therapy. Murray, how are you today?
I'm great. Thank you, Eddie. Thanks for having me.
Awesome, awesome. So, Murray, I've had you on Here We'd Go, I think, twice. So I'm familiar with your background in the tech industry. But for those who are just hearing about you right now, tell us a little bit of the Cliff Notes version of how you went from tech to cannabis.
So I spent about 30 years in the computer industry, both in terms of engineering, software development, in a variety of roles like that, ultimately ending up in marketing and sales. And then I ran a technical marketing communications company for probably 15 years,
okay,
or
gotcha.
20 years. It was at the end of that time where I was starting to essentially look at the end of that business. The market was changing. Computer industry is always dynamic. And I had an opportunity for investment in cannabis. And so I looked at that and considered, and I thought, well, this could be a good thing. I'd been experienced with it from college onward. I'd seen the benefits. And so I looked at that, made an investment, and over time it just quickly grew into developing the business plan for the opportunities. And so we participated in the first round of dispensary certificates back in 2011, opened the third dispensary in Arizona in 2013. We were the first edible kitchen. We were fortunate to have the facilities to be able to do that early on. And so sort of found myself in it and became convinced that it was sort of the path I wanted to be because, you know, we were all excited in those days. Imagine going into a store and actually being able to legally buy cannabis.
Oh, man.
And not having to watch your back and be afraid. So the experience was really exciting. And the number of people that came to us in those early days of the medical world, the medical dispensary world, they were hurting. And, you know, after so many little old ladies, would just grab you and hug you and tell you how you made a difference in their life, you become pretty convinced it's a great path.
That is really cool. And from being that first kitchen in the state, you're on the precipice of opening what'll be the state's largest cannabis kitchen. Talk to me a little bit about what that means and what that's going to allow Halo Infusions to be able to do now.
You betcha. So historically, kitchens in Arizona or in any sort of state that's doing cannabis infusion, they're generally restricted. They're frequently an afterthought of obtaining a dispensary license or choosing to manufacture products. And the reality is with the challenges of testing, latency associated with waiting for results, and just normal manufacturing practices, it can be real challenging to do that within limited space. Mm-hmm. Then you've got to support a distribution system, deliver products, and all of this requires infrastructure, and all of that requires resources, both people and the physical facilities. So at the end of the day, it becomes really challenging. So we felt those pain points from day one. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to consistently make brownies every day or every week and always be able to deliver them when you've got supply chain challenges, as we all saw during the COVID era. Mm-hmm. So these things can be problematic. Being able to have adequate storage, being able to support multiple production lines running simultaneously, being able to support the number of people you need to do this kind of thing are all challenges that really space and more freedom in terms of doing things would make possible. Mm. Adult use rules came along, the adult use cannabis industry. It made it possible to physically have a kitchen or a production facility outside of a dispensary or cultivation. And that was really what it took for us to say, we can visualize a large scale kitchen that can deliver products for pretty much anybody in our community, anybody that's in our industry, and be able to support the large dispensaries as well as the small. And then ultimately be able to maybe make some changes and improve the industry by being able to lower the barrier of entry for smaller brands or out-of-state brands to enter our market.
And I want to definitely touch on that. But before I do, I want to talk about the Halo Infusions brands. Mm-hmm. Tell everybody kind of what your offerings are. And then I really want to touch on that canine CBD, because that's something that until really you brought it up in one of our first podcasts, I didn't even think that was a market. So let's touch on Halo.
So since almost the beginning, we've been making a range of products. And as you may be aware, when it first happened, everybody was excited about just getting anything. We were delighted. So any type of edible was your favorite. Mm-hmm. And in those early days, it was largely brownies and baked goods. These days, it's now gummies and increasingly beverages and those kinds of products. So we basically have six brands. Canna Confections, which, as you're aware, is our chocolate products and other sorts of confections.
And Carabels, which I
Carabels,
love.
Oh, yeah. Yes. My wife as well. Aunt Ellie's, which is our baked goods. Those are brownies, cookies, that sort of thing. Cannabis, which is our gummy line. And we're very focused with all of these product lines on RSO, Rick Simpson oil. That's essentially unfiltered, unprocessed cannabis oil. And we use that methodology for our infusion because it gives us really the benefits of the whole plant. Mm. We know there's an enormous synergy between cannabinoids, and the only effective way to achieve that between the cannabinoids and even terpenes and other phytochemicals, to get the synergy out, you really need them to all be there. And so much gets distilled out when you work with a more refined concentrate. So in addition, we also have Pure and Simple, our juice line. We're excited. Very shortly, we're going to be introducing a refrigerated ready-to-drink version. We're very, very pleased about that. Very going to be terrific. And of course, is our chronic health line, which is our topicals and our tincture products. And then as lastly, about a year ago, we introduced our canine CBD therapy. And the interesting thing about that product is we'd been making products for 10 years. And, you know, we started to think, well, you know, we all love pets around here. We're big fans of dogs and cats. And someone, I can't even remember who, said, well, why aren't we doing something for animals? And we started to look at that and thought, well, you know, we all care about our pets. The worst thing in the world is to see them suffer. So how can we take what we've learned and apply that? And we started looking into science, started reading, and we determined through that and conversations with veterinarians and scientists that, in fact, the synergy of cannabinoids can have an important impact on canines and potentially other mammals as well, because we have such similarities. Mm. You know, well over 90% of our DNA is shared with canines. Well over 60% of our biome in our gut is identical to that of canines.
That is so interesting.
So, wow. And then when you look at the path for enzymatic processing within our liver, very similar to canines. So they process compounds in the same way. So we began testing, trying different products using our own RSO approach because we think THC is a critical thing regardless of the benefits of other compounds. So we built a CBD product using basically hemp CBD concentrate, and it has a full spectrum of cannabinoids, but also includes less than 3% of federal standard THC. And we tried this on our pets, and we found out it was pretty remarkable. I have a couple of sheepdogs, if you will. They are scared to death of lightning and thunder, even the patter of rain on the roof. And this just chills them out immediately. So tinctures are a terrific way to go because they're largely absorbed sublingually, so you get very rapid effect. And the core CBD compound that's present in them is terrific at causing them to be relaxed.
That is so amazing. And I guess the question that immediately comes out is, because it's hemp-based, does that mean that it's able to be sold outside of the dispensary model?
It can be.
It can be. Yeah.
Now, admittedly, the hemp rules in Arizona are still being written. And so that industry is being, you know, held back a bit because of that. But folks at the State House, we know, are working on those things. Ultimately, though, because it's a gray area, CBD and CBD products can be sold, and they are sold pretty much anywhere in the state, provided they meet federal guidelines for having no more than 0.3% THC. That's really the trick. Now, taking these products out of state, things like that, there's going to be additional constraints because some states have rules. But we see the feds working through this pretty quickly. There's an enormous pressure at the federal level to resolve the CBD question, as well as other questions like the Delta 8, THC, and, you know, of course, THC itself in terms of federal regulation.
Those other hemp-derived cannabinoids.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, we've talked a little bit about how Halo has CBD canine treats, how there are five or six other different brands. When you see a lot of edible brands in the market, they usually only produce maybe a gummy or a chocolate or variations on gummies and chocolates. Why have you diversified your portfolio so much, at least in comparison with some of the other larger Arizona-based edible brands?
That's a terrific question. It's really just a slight difference in approach. We felt early on that it was really essential for us to develop expertise in infusing cannabis into a wide variety of products, mm-hmm. consider it different food matrices, because the ability for those cannabinoids to persist and therefore be effective in the finished product when you consume it, what happens with it when you consume it, chocolate's different from brownies, for example, that's different from beverages, whether there's a sublingual component of absorption that precedes your GI tract absorption, mm-hmm. which can give you a sort of a mixed effect. There's a whole series of things that are going to impact how that product is going to affect you. So we felt like we needed to develop the expertise in all of these different products. And of course, early on, going back 10, 12 years ago, people wanted everything they could get. These days it is gummies, and some manufacturers really focus on that or perhaps on chocolate. And there's a real positive strategy about that, but we know how to infuse everything. And now with the new kitchen, one of the things we're going to be introducing is white and private labeling mm-hmm. to help assist our competitors even, mm-hmm. Small players and big players alike, produce their products in Arizona with the meeting the stringent needs of their market in terms of safety, quality, consistency, and so forth. And that's what we'll be able to do for the edible market and for pretty much all the players in general.
When can I look forward to coming down and taking a tour of this big old kitchen?
Well, we just got our approval just yesterday, so we're quite excited. I think within a matter of weeks, my compliance team will give me permission to do some tours, and we'll be delighted to have you then.
Well, that is just the best way to wrap up this segment. Murray Stein, thank you so much for coming on the Buckmaster Show and joining me here today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Eddie. I'm pleased to be here.
All right. And one more reminder, folks, that the Buckmaster Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. This is the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
How's it growing, folks? This segment is brought to you by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They are ready to welcome you back with open arms. Just 3 hours east of Tucson, there is so much to do out in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, where there's plenty of social distancing, and visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. That is just a great way to lead into our closing segment today with Matt Russell, the host of The Weekend Watch. Matt, how are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm just loving this edition of the Celaya Show, Eddie. I mean,
this
has been so much fun.
Man, I didn't even think of naming it that. That might be something I need a copyright or something like that. So Matt, tell us a little bit about what's going on this weekend. I know there's something going on with the Flavors of the Sonoran Desert Cannabis Dinner. That sounds something up my alley here.
What a lovely coincidence that we're talking about that today. Yeah, there's a sort of a series of upscale cannabis-infused dinners. It got underway not too long ago, and the third in the series is happening tonight. And, Eddie, it features the handiwork of local chef and James Beard Award semifinalist Wendy Garcia. And as you said, it's called Flavors of the Sonoran Desert. This is a five-course extravaganza highlighting the interesting intersection of the culinary arts and the medicinal benefits of cannabis. Super limited seating, though. So go to TucsonFoodie.com for all the information, a link to reserve your seat, and the big reveal of the otherwise undisclosed location where this dinner is going to be.
That is right up my cannabis alley, if there's ever been one. So, but unfortunately, you know, or maybe fortunately, I will actually be at the next event we'll be talking about, the Saca's Salsa Tequila and Taco Challenge.
Yeah, so one of the local culinary and cocktail events that always ranks high on my list of annuals. It's happening tonight at the Hotel El Conquistador. It's the Salsa Tequila and Taco Challenge. As you said, three of the basic food groups on my personal pyramid. Now, there's going to be 30 local restaurants, breweries, other brands. They're going to be going to battle for the best salsa, tequila, cocktail, and taco in Tucson. There's going to be both People's Choice and Judge's Choice Awards. So check out Saca, SAACA.org, for information. And Eddie, I understand you're going to be on the judicial panel yourself.
Yes, I will be responsible for at least in part for handing out those judicial awards. And anybody who wants to complain knows where to reach me now. So that's always a beneficial thing. So obviously there is one more big event going on this weekend, the Charity Cocktail Classic at the Arizona Sands Club there at Arizona Stadium. What's that have to do with things?
Right there, high atop Arizona Stadium on the U of A campus. It is the Charity Cocktail Classic beginning at 6 o'clock p.m. again tomorrow. 8 marquee members of the club will work to claim the title for best cocktail at this end-of-summer soiree, including a host of local celebrities. There's also going to be live music and a delicious paella party, courtesy of Chef Danny Perez. Now, this private club is going to be open to the public for this shaking and stirring event, with proceeds going to the Eric Height Foundation. So check out Arizona Sands Club on Facebook to learn more.
Well, I'll tell you what, Matt, all of those events sound cannabis worthy to me, whether you want to enjoy it before or afterwards. But even if you don't, it sounds like there's going to be a heck of a weekend going on here in the Old Pueblo.
Indeed. It all has the Celaya seal of approval. You can take that one to the bank.
That's right. Stamp it, mail it, get it. It's all good. All right, Matt, thank you so much,
Eddie,
for joining me here today.
You bet. Have a great weekend.
You too. All right, folks, that has been it for the Celaya Show version of the Buckmaster Show, which is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is responsible for its content. On behalf of longtime executive assistant Rosemary Brandt and our entire team here at the Bustos Media Tucson, including my engineer producer Tom Fairbanks, have yourselves a wonderful and safe weekend, because here we'd go.